Have you been listening to this show for a while? Do you like this show? Do you want to see it continue? There's one way you can do that. You can actually visit our Patreon page and donate some money to make sure the show continues. That's the only way we fund the show, the only way we make it happen. Go to patreon.com/weHaveConcerns. Find out bonus stuff you can get for supporting us and make sure the show keeps on trucking. Sounds like she really switched it up on you.
That doesn't solve anything, and no. It just makes me hate you.
Okay, well, I did my part then.
This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
One of the things we've talked about several times that I'm obsessed...
Your eventual death?
We have definitely talked about that way more
You're
than
gonna
I
You're going
to
die, dude.
I know that, and I don't like to think about it.
It's closer every day.
Constantly bringing it up.
I mean, we all are.
The thing that I do like
you
to think
so
about...
You so much sooner than a lot of us.
I don't think that's... I hope that's not...
Because
I mean,
of your age.
Oh, but I'm not as old as you think I am.
Here's, 53 this
that's
year.
That's not... So, one of the things I'm obsessed with is how wrong a lot of the information that I knew growing up, that I was taught as a child, specifically about dinosaurs.
Oh, we got the short shrift on the dinosaur story, my
we've
friend.
We've had so many episodes of the show where we've talked about things that have come out recently, new discoveries that basically invalidate entire Jurassic Park franchises.
Sure.
Trips to the National Museum.
I mean, the Jurassic Park franchise invalidates the Jurassic Park franchise like every other movie.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, I just feel like we're living a lie. Like, you know, there's nothing that little kids like, specifically little kids, like dinosaurs. They want to learn about them. It's like the first, your first journey into science.
Yeah.
That and space, right? Dinosaurs in space are what hook kids on science and on learning. And you're
drugs.
Like, oh, cool. No, I don't.
Sure.
Not for, I don't, maybe for.
Drug, you don't think so?
For little kids? I think that's not.
How little?
Like a little kid, like a toddler is into dinosaurs and trucks. It'd be like if we learned that trucks weren't what we thought they were. You know, like what if trucks
were robots in disguise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hoisted on my own petard there.
Womp womp.
Anyway, so here's a
yeah,
a
dinosaurs.
Story.
Yeah, we got.
There's a new story.
Everything's fake.
New,
everything's
new information
fake with dinosaurs.
That is continuing this trend of everything we learned was wrong. And here's one with a particularly, I'll say, catchy headline. This comes to us from Brian Towns. Did Brian Towns already get a nickname?
No, he did not. No, but now you're on the list, Brian.
Here's my problem is we're at this point, we got to keep some sort of compendium of the nicknames because we're just going to forget who has a nickname and who doesn't at this point. That's on you.
That is on me.
Okay.
But I said at the beginning of this that I'm bad at nicknames.
Awful.
I'm awful at nicknames and I'm awful at remembering nicknames and I'm awful at remembering names and I'm awful at remembering people and I'm awful at remembering to do things that I promised people.
So this is the perfect confluence of things for you.
Yeah, it's just out of all my responsibilities, this one is really the roughest on me.
Okay. Here's the headline that caught my eye. I was like, I got to read this article. Tyrannosaurus Rex was a sensitive lover, new dinosaur discovery suggests.
Huh.
Sensitive lover.
Like giving?
Yeah, it's evidently.
He's a very giving lover.
So
that's interesting to me because a couple of the appendages are out of play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you got to make up for, sometimes that's true
thing.
In everybody, you know, sometimes you got to make up for shortcomings you know, more sensitivity.
That's, and I guess that's it. I guess that's it is because, you know, when your powers of touch and caress are... ruined by your tiny, tiny arms.
Well, what if he's got, you got to get real close to use those arms. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe
intimate.
You know, yeah. If I want my arms to be involved, we got to be real up on each other.
Huh.
So here's the way, the reason this is
and sensitive compared to what?
To what we thought. We thought a Tyrannosaurus Rex was a big, fearsome, ferocious beast.
When two T-Rexes do it, I thought they like, one of them kicks the other one in the face, and they go rolling back into battle, and they fall off a cliff, and on their way down the cliff, they're just, like, gnawing at each other, but also having sex. Kind of like eagles.
Like a Klingon.
You know, like, when
sex.
Eagles do... Yeah, eagles are Klingons.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of pictured it, I guess. Actually, do you know what, Jeff?
What?
That's the first time I've ever thought about...
Tyrannosaurus Rex
pictures. Dinosaurs having sex. I've...
Well, you gotta,
never
you
gotta, thought about you haven't dinosaurs been to my, having
my
sex.
My new office where I put up all the artwork that I've been doing.
It's just the...
You would have thought about it. You would have thought about it before if you had seen that.
Is that what
stuff.
You doodle in the margins of every legal contract we've ever signed?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just in meetings and Jeff is just like doodling and he like holds up something and I'm just like, what am I looking at? And
obviously,
now that I think about
T-Rex
it,
fucking.
It's a couple of Diplodocuses going at it.
Oh, I'm a dinosaur doodler. I like to doodle the
but
dinosaurs.
But only fuck doodles.
Right. Fuck dinosaur doodles.
Yeah.
Here's the reason.
Describe a T-Rex lovemaking session to me. According to science. And do it slow.
Well,
do
first,
it in your Asmar voice.
Can we get a little mood music? Like, doom, doom. No. Here's the reason that science has decided that they're sensitive lovers. Basically, there was a brand new discovery of a...
poem?
A D. horneri. Das Philetosaurus?
Killing it.
It is a new type of dinosaur ancestor. It's a cousin to the T-Rex that was just discovered, and it was remarkably well preserved. This fossil, and it is kind of a
one-to-one.
That's
how I describe you.
Oh man, you're just being mean now. I mean, well preserved. I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah. Have you met my friend Jeff? He's a very well preserved fossil.
I am of a different time, that's for sure. This is basically a small T-Rex. These were very closely related to the T-Rex, but they were much, much smaller, like a 75th percent of the size.
Okay.
So
wait, it's not a 75th of the size, 75% of the size.
No, a 75th of the size. 25% of the size. That's how math works, right? No.
Wow. I went for clarification and it just got more muddled.
Where is
it's
it?
1/75th the size of a T-Rex.
No, I think that's incorrect.
Okay.
I think it is much smaller than that. It is less than 75%.
Jeff, what is bigger? A car or an egg?
A dinosaur egg?
How much bigger do you think a car is than a normal egg that you would get from the grocery store? If you
like
had
75%,
like, it's like 1/75. Okay. What about a house and a basketball?
A basketball house? That sounds like an awesome house
to live
in.
No, what about a house?
Basketball house.
How much bigger is a house
LeBron
than a basketball?
James lives. How much bigger is a house than a basketball?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the house, I guess.
Is the basketball, like, would you say 1/75 the size?
1/75 the size of a house?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Is that not right?
No. I'm just sort of figuring out
3/4 of the size of its later cousin. So it is 75%.
Okay.
So I was inadvertently right.
So this thing is 75% the size of a T-Rex.
Yeah. 3/4 the size of its later cousin.
All right.
Okay. So the face and skull of this fossil were really well preserved.
Okay.
And in fact, they reveal that there was a very hard shell. Right. On their snout.
Okay.
So their snout is protected when they, you know, go in and eat, and they can bash stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they found was that this hard surface on their snout was penetrated by a whole bunch of little nerve openings that they call foramina. Never heard that term before. Foramina are these little nerve openings. Which
foramina
means,
is the name of my beautiful Italian daughter.
Foramina.
Hey,
she is
foramina.
A beautiful girl. And
you must be a sensitive lover.
So sensitive.
You must be a sensitive lover with my girl Foramina.
Well, Mr. Kamopoulos, I hope that I can. I want to.
I don't trust it because of you, a dinosaur.
Well, I have tiny arms. What am I supposed to do? I got to get in close and hug and.
Please, father, I love a dinosaur. I want to marry this a dinosaur. I want to marry.
Foramina, I want to marry you too. I'm talking to your father. I want to love you like I've never loved anyone.
A dinosaur cannot provide for my daughter.
But I am herbivore and carnivore. I can get every food
that
group.
That is not a big deal. I'm herbivore and carnivore.
Omnivores, we are omnivores. We have so much in common, sir. We have so much in common. Just give me your daughter's hand to me. It is a much larger hand.
She cannot reach your hand.
I know, it's very tall. I'm very tall and she is very short. But we will make it work. Things have been harder in nature before this moment. Just give in to love. Let me show you. I make a big, a grand gesture of love. Here we go. Ready?
yeah, this is not a happening. It's okay. It shouldn't happen.
That's so sad for me.
So they discovered.
So they have these nerve endings, right? Which means that they were very sensitive around the snout, which means they surmise that these bumps, these little nerve endings, were used before mating, and they were used to stimulate the other dinosaurs. So they would rub their snouts together, and it's a kind of a form of foreplay.
But they also use their snouts for bashing.
Right. Just like I use with my penis.
Just
I bash stuff, and then
very
I use
sensitive
it for mating.
With them, but then at the same time, I'm also just like, I'm also crushing enemies.
Evidently, they see this stuff with crocodiles as well. And there are other mammals, reptiles, and birds that have sensory signals, and that's the kind of behavior that they see with those very sensitive nerve endings. So that leads them to believe that the T-Rex did the same damn thing, because this tiny T-Rex had it, and they're extrapolating that into having the big T-Rex have it. And so they thought, it's snout time. A little snout time before you get it on.
A little snout time.
Yeah.
You can't just jump right into it.
You got to have a little snout time.
You got to have a little snout time. Yeah. That's just like, I mean, look, you can jump right into it. And sometimes you do jump right into it. But I'm saying like.
Yeah, there is a time and a place.
If you want to respect your partner, you know, sometimes you get a little snout time in there.
You got to offer more than just snout time.
I know you're tired. I know it's the end of the day.
Yeah.
I know you just kind of like, and sometimes you just want to get it over with. Right. Yeah. And it's a bummer that's true.
Right.
Sometimes you've been out tearing apart herbivores all day.
Yeah, ripping them asunder.
Ripping them asunder. You know, your vision is terrible.
You gotta.
It's hard work.
Maintain your dominance in the jungle.
You get home, you know, and you want to be a good partner. You want to be.
Yeah.
But it's tough,
but
man.
You know what? Somebody has been home all day, tending the eggs.
Sure.
And maybe making sure that the meat and other herbs that you've been voring are ready for you when you walk in that door. Maybe somebody else has had a long day too.
Yeah. Maybe they were out hunting as well.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows what the roles of these dinosaurs were?
We don't know, but all I'm saying is just because you're tired.
You can't put them into their little, you can't put them in these slots, these preconceived notions. Let me tell you something. You're both tired.
Yeah.
You're both cranky.
But you gotta make time. You gotta make energy.
That's where the real relationship happens. You can't just kick somebody off a cliff and fuck them while you're falling.
No,
that's for eagles.
Let the eagles have that.
That's what eagles do.
Yeah, and Klingons.
And Klingons.
Don't steal from the Klingons.
No, don't steal from a Klingon.
It's like that time.
Can I just like let's just put aside what we're talking about?
Yeah.
And just say right now. Don't fucking steal from a Klingon.
Right. That's like when the T-Rexes tried to steal the ritual of Panfar. That did not go well.
Well, that's a Vulcan ritual.
Fuck. I really thought I had that one.
No. The Panfar is the Vulcan mating ritual.
Shit. Trek a Trekker. That's what I always say.
Klingons, I think, just like kick each other in the crotch
they
and
have
scream
a thing.
And then go for it.
There's a thing. There's a name for their thing. There's a name for their fight. There's the big fight that they have with those big half moon knife things.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the ritual of Panfar?
No.
What's the Panfar thing?
Vulcan.
What are they Vulcan doing?
That's where they get overcome with lust, remember? And Spock, like, Spock and Kirk have to fight.
Right.
Because once every 10 years, the Vulcans are all like, I got a bone down.
Yeah, Vulcans, it's all logic until it isn't.
You would think that the Vulcans would be the sensitive lovers, but they're not.
No, of course you wouldn't think that. They're all logical. It's dry and devoid of any emotional
connection.
But
you definitely wouldn't think that they'd be like the angry, passionate lovers. You would definitely think that that's Klingons,
right?
And it may be Klingons. I will defer to a bigger Trek fan than me on this one. But
how does a Ferengi get down?
However they do it, it's gross. It doesn't matter. It's ugly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, T-Rexes, not the Vulcans.
Okay.
They're not one-to-one.
Yeah.
T-Rexes are sensitive.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't think there's a sensitive lover in the entire Star Trek universe. I can't imagine one.
I bet that Sulu is a sensitive lover.
Sulu's probably a sensitive lover. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you're gonna bone like Sulu.
If there's one thing to take away from this show,
bone like Sulu and a T-Rex.
Does this change your opinion of the vicious T-Rex?
No.
You think that you can be a monster on the streets and a lover in the sheets?
Of course. And you know, here's the thing. Whereas a lot of these scientific discoveries about dinosaurs change our very conception about dinosaurs,
this
right?
One did. To me.
This is like, oh, they had these like pre-feathers. They were, right. You know, they weren't scaly.
They quacked.
They weren't different colors. It was more a quack than a roar. All that stuff changes the image of the terrible thunder lizard. But here's the thing. Little kids, when they're obsessed with dinosaurs, they don't think about dinosaurs boning down. I never thought about dinosaurs boning down until today.
Right.
This doesn't
and you
change
are still
anything.
Still a kid.
And I'm still a child.
Yeah.
Mentally and in some ways physically. And it's unfortunate. And that's for me to deal with. And we're not getting into it. But what I will say is, whereas these other things are kind of like, fuck, now they've changed the way I picture right. dinosaurs. This just adds to my picture of dinosaurs.
Oh, I see. This fleshes it out.
This fleshes out the story of the dinosaur.
Oh, okay. So you hadn't
it
considered...
It can still look and act and think the way we expected it to.
Right.
But this is just like a little window into like what the quiet storm's like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the end of the day is like.
I get you. So up to this point, you had only thought about, you know, workaday dinosaur, not
yeah.
home life dinosaur.
Exactly.
And now we're just getting that backstory. We're getting a little window into what it was like to quiet times.
Yeah, what we're getting now is like season two of a Whedon series.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've had all the action, all the bombast.
Yeah, we've set up your preconceived notions about mm-hmm. the genre.
Yeah.
And now we're going to flip that script.
Yeah.
We're going to add to these characters.
These three-dimensional characters now.
Yeah.
We had...
Sure, you had to wait a whole year for them to get the third dimension.
Right.
And maybe you didn't stick around.
Gotcha.
But now you have it.
But if you did, you're rewarded.
You're rewarded.
See, because you thought the T-Rex was just, you know, monster of the week.
Right.
He was just there for the action sequences and the sort of shallow.
That monster has a rich inner life.
Yeah.
That now makes you think about how the monster views things.
Right.
Bring back Dollhouse.
Mm.
Bring
back Dollhouse. For the dinosaurs.
For the dinosaurs, everybody. What does this change your preconceived notions of dinosaurs? Do you think that we should bring back Dollhouse? The answer is yes.
Should we tell kids about the sensitive lover part?
Should we tell kids about Eliza Dushku? At what age do you tell your child about Eliza Dushku?
Yeah, the Dushku question.
That's huge.
Everybody has to deal with the Dushku.
Let us know on Twitter. I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag that Dollhouse.
Yeah, bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
The dinosaurs.